Okay, I know you may have heard about the Enneagram or someone told you you need to know all about it. So here you are. But what the hell do you do with it? Great news, you are in the right place. Lead with the Enneagram is the show where you will actually learn how to use this incredible growth tool and apply it in all areas of your life, personally and professionally. Hi, I'm Tracy, and to be honest with you, I was a skeptic of the Enneagram before I started to actually integrate it into my life. In fact, in true Enneagram 8 style, I told my therapist to F off when she wanted me to dive into it well over a decade ago. Now that I have more than a decade of experience using the Enneagram and working on myself, in my family, with those closest to me, building my own bulletproof leadership sales teams, with one-on-one clients, couples leading workshops for top Fortune 100 executives, and speaking to large audiences all across the globe about this powerful tool, I've got the proof and deep understanding of how to help you implement this into your life instead of it just being some fun thing you heard about. The Enneagram can be a complex model, but with me as your guide, I will show you how to first lead yourself in a powerful, effective, and compassionate way, and then help you lead others that way in your life as well. This podcast will have powerful conversations with guests, live typing sessions, as well as solo episodes of breaking down dynamics of the Enneagram and how they impact your life, career, and relationships. So now, let's dive in. Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Lead with the Enneagram. And we have some special guests today, and they came to me via one of my closest friends, a person that I trust with my life. And I don't ever take her recommendations for meeting somebody lightly. And these two women that I'm bringing you today are amazing. They are investors, and they help you invest. And I know we have a lot of entrepreneurs, especially women, that want to get into the investing route. And it can feel very scary as a woman sometimes to get into this because it is very male dominated. It is very aggressive sometimes. And I think specifically for women, we don't always raise our hand and say, hey, can you teach me? Especially in that male dominated, like strong masculine energy kind of space. And I've met a lot of women in the investing space that are very masculine energy that I'm like, okay. Like, I'm masculine energy, and if I'm doing that, it's a big thing. But we have Andrea Quick and Rachel Grun with Good Good Investing here on the podcast today. We're going to talk Enneagram because, you know, I talk a lot about partnerships and relationships. And for these two to be not only friends, but business partners based on their Enneagram type, I can see why they so well complement each other and their clients. And I also can see, oh, I bet this is where they get tripped up. And I thought it would be really, really fun to not only share them and their business with you, but also the dynamics between very different Enneagram types. Hi, guys.
Hi. Thanks so much for having us. We're so excited.
Welcome. Okay. So we have a duo here. One had no idea what she was on the Enneagram, really, or much what it was. And then one that was very well-versed. So Rachel, you are the well-versed one in the Enneagram, and she was actually typed properly. So that was exciting. How did you fall into the Enneagram, and why do you love it so much?
Oh my gosh. I fell into the Enneagram when someone about 10 years ago introduced me. They were just, I don't know. I can't even remember. I lived in LA at the time, and I was part of this like artists group because I used to be an actor. Well, I still dabble, but and they were like, oh, do you know what you are in the Enneagram? I was like, what, like Myers-Briggs? And they're like, no, it's a totally different. And so, you know, I took a test, and your test was really comprehensive, but a lot of people get mistyped on tests.
Yeah.
And so they were like,
65 to 70% do actually.
Yeah. If you just search Enneagram test online, you're probably going to get mistyped because I feel like it's also like a constant discovery. Yeah. And like we were talking about before we started recording, like there's so many, it's not just one type. There's so many different layers to it. And so then I was gifted the book called The Road Back to You, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And then someone else gifted me a book called Millenniagram, which is very fun. Do you know about Millenniagram?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Of course you do. And so, yeah, I just got totally addicted. And being an actor, what I would actually do is I would type the characters that I was portraying, which gave me so much context and texture whenever I like took that character to set. So I, you know, you just, you can step into the shoes of a seven. I'm a one, but you can step in shoes to a seven and say, what would a seven do? And just, and that'll inform your decision. So if you're an artist listening to this, like definitely get into the Enneagram. It's a really cool application of that.
So great. Like my daughter and I, who's an Enneagram seven, like I was telling you guys earlier, and she's an astrologist. So like she goes down, we'll be watching something on TV or a movie. And she's like, what Enneagram type you think they are? And I'll kind of banter off, and she'll banter off probably an Leo or an Aries, or, you know, she'll do the thing, and then we'll start Googling crap and do that. I love that, because I have some people in my life that are into theater, and my daughter was an actress as well. So like, great tip.
Yeah,
so aside from acting, you know, you're in investing, which, you know, as an Enneagram one, a lot of black and white thinking, not a lot of gray area. And in investing, it can be more gray area, right? So how do you manage and navigate and wrangle that one in you to be a little bit more go with the flow? Because it's hard for you to do, probably.
Does it surprise you that my favorite subject in school was math?
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
I am so black and white. I'm like, there's one answer. What's the right answer? That's the one answer. There's not multiple. So yes, it's been, and this is like, to go back to your question as well, as how the Enneagram has helped me, is you really realize like what your tendencies are. And so I know my tendencies. And in the book, The Road Back to You, he also talks about once you know your type, you know too much not to change, and you know too much not to like try and work, you know? And so I did, I realized I knew too much, and it's been just a constant, I wouldn't say a battle or struggle, because it's actually been quite fun to like push the boundaries of my comfort. And, you know, I have a very supportive, loving husband who gives me the safe space to do that. I have a crippling fear of failure. So I will sit there in front of a blank screen forever because I'm too scared to even start typing. Do you know what I mean? And so I have to do stuff perfect from the get-go. And so going into a partnership and working with investors and being in, like you said, that gray space has been challenging, but I've learned to just extend grace to myself
and to me
and to my business partner, Andrea.
We're going to get to you in a second for sure. So like that is like the beauty of the Enneagram. And very similarly, when I looked at it as framework and like a compass rather than like this permission to beat myself up even more, it did become more comprehensive, and it didn't have the emotional charge to it, because, you know, you and I, me as an eight, you as a one, we're in that instinctual center. So we're very, you know, intense anyway, especially in present time. That when I understood 11 years ago and found the Enneagram, it almost gave me permission, first of all, to not have to change who I am, but I was responsible for like the come from, right? And knowing the framework and the system of the Enneagram allowed me to see like, okay, that's my growth number. Ooh, that's going to be hard to do, but like you can't hit a target you can't see. And the Enneagram, it sounds like, has really helped you kind of go into that growth number for you, which happens to be a seven. And also your business partner is an Enneagram seven, which, I mean, could not be polar opposites in every single way. Even their tri-types are polar opposites. Rachel is the 1-3-5 tri-type, and Andrea is the 7-2-9 tri-type. So like, what's great about this is you cover almost the full scope of the humans within your tri-types. But how is it working and partnering with a seven as a one? Because they're all over the place. They're like, anything goes. There's no stupid idea. And all options are available at all times. Like a one's worst nightmare, basically. So how is it? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're laughing because you're reading our mail. Yeah. You know, it at the beginning was scary because I was like, what have I gotten myself into? And she knows we had a conversation early on where I was like, I can't do this because I feel like we're going in six different directions.
That made me cry, by the way, which you don't know.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that breaks my heart. I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
That's
keep going.
That's
we are learning stuff on the fly, but yeah, I was, you know, and it was hard, but you know, after we had that conversation, I think it opened the door for us to be vulnerable with each other, to be honest with, not mean, but honest with each other, to try and leave our egos at the door, to hear feedback and ideas in a non-judgmental way. And I think honestly, partnering with a seven has pushed me in a healthy way, because like you said, when I'm healthy, you know, I go towards seven. And I think that's kind of what this experience has done, is it's pushed me to be more spontaneous, go outside of my comfort zone, try things that make me wildly anxious. And it's turned out really well. Like, I don't think I would be where I am today if it wasn't for her, you know, encouraging me with her seven.
For sure. So Andrea, you were not privy to the Enneagram other than what your beautiful partner and friend Rachel had said. What did she tell you about the Enneagram? And were you like, yeah, who cares? Or were you like, ooh, tell me more?
No, I was interested, right? Because it's kind of cool if we could learn more about each other. And I guess I kind of felt like it might be putting me in a box. I'm not going to lie, which I was like a little concerned about. I'm like, wait, do you really, like, is this really accurate? Right. But I mean, everything that we've talked about seems like, you know, exactly who I am. At the moment that Rachel told me, I think I just read like maybe a 2-3 sentence definition. And it said like, you're fun, you're, you know, open to new experiences. It was so high level, but I was like, okay, I'll accept that, you know? But yeah, so I really don't know too much. I'm totally open to discovering more. And it's just very exciting. Yeah.
You know, like, I think sevens are probably the most underrated on the Enneagram, because it is the enthusiastic visionary. It's like, woohoo, the party, the extrovert, the fun. And you're a Leo on top of it. So like, you have that extra, extra, here I am kind of energy, and it's beautiful. And we can't help but love sevens. But the thing that makes you underrated is because you are so larger than life and fun, and people underestimate you because it looks like you're not really paying attention to details, or that you're so like go with the flow and sure, whatever, it's great, that people don't always take you seriously. And I'm telling you right now, when you do that to a seven, not only will you lose them, but you're missing out on their gifts. Because you guys are such visionaries and innovators, like seriously, because you believe like there's no stupid idea and anything's possible, you are what makes some creative, beautiful things happen in the world. Like Steve Jobs was an Enneagram 7, mistyped as a 1 for sure, because he looks so rigid, but he actually was an Enneagram 7 that was under stress a lot and looking very 1-like. But like, think about him, you know, when he went to Macintosh and he was like, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And they're like, that's cute, Steve. Like, not so much, not possible. Like, don't tell a 7 it's not possible, because what he did was go into that garage with Steve Wozniak, which, you know, that's a whole different talk for you and I about your growth number. And when you put a 7 in the right environment and in a container where they can make their magic happen, that's how we have Apple today. So for you, like, you know, being restricted or being put in a box is your worst case scenario. But I'm here to tell you, like, own that 7, like, and especially if Rachel is kind of trying to say, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. Like, you're gonna have to be very mindful, obviously, of the delivery of that to her. But like, the reason your partnership is working is because she does need more of that visionary, like forward thinking kind of essence that you bring to the table. Now, that being said, you can imagine as a 7 where that can get you into trouble, because it's like 1,000 tabs open at the same time.
Yes, you described me perfectly.
Yeah. So other than that, how does being this enthusiastic visionary, can you see it tripping you up in partnership specifically, and maybe even personally?
Yeah, that's so interesting, because I think that my husband is probably Rachel as well. Like, they're just so similar. And he's had a lot of growth in taking risks, which is fantastic. So that's awesome, right? But I think that sometimes, you know, Rachel and I could butt heads, or him and I can butt heads, because I almost don't understand how a person could not be open-minded. Like, it's frustrating to me, you know? And so And then when that happens, I'm like, well, then I'll just do it myself. Right. And like, I'll figure out a way to get whatever I want done, done with or without the other person. And I so wish that I could have the other person. And maybe you're right. There is a form of dependency, maybe, right? That I need a partner. But I will get it done. I will figure it out. I'll find somebody else. You know what I mean? So I think like that maybe is a really big growth opportunity that I need to like be patient, maybe work out a little bit more on delivery so that I don't like scare them off. And I remember that Rachel and I had a conversation and she's, I think you mentioned something about like spaghetti on a wall, which is literally the way that I think. Like I don't process anything. I don't research anything. But if it's a great idea, I'm going to throw it out to anybody, right? To see what kind of like response I get. Like just, but I think for Rachel and maybe my husband, that used to be something that would frustrate them. Like, oh my gosh, you have so many things, so many pop-ups. I went out to lunch with my husband and we went to a taco shop just right before this interview and the line was out the door. And I'm like, honey, maybe we should talk to the owner about opening a franchise. And he's like, too much. You know, he's like, we have too many things going on. Right. So I think, the gist of it is there's growth both ways, but the frustration, I need to learn how to deliver in a better way, I think.
Well, it's interesting because like, you know, raising an Enneagram 2 son, I don't necessarily have to be mindful of the language I use, but tone and timing is everything for him. And with you two, it isn't so much. Well, with you, Andrea, I don't have to worry about tone or timing, but language is really, really important. With somebody like Rachel, I have to be mindful of tone, timing, and language, right? And just understanding that. And raising an Enneagram 7 daughter, she's the whole reason why I really dove deep in the Enneagram, because I could see the beautiful free spirit. I could see the imagination. And because I'm not wired that way and I'm not motivated like that, I found myself judging her and trying to put her in my box. And I got to say, like, the more that and all my closest friends, like, are sevens. Because I need more of that in my life. You all still, like, I don't even know how you function sometimes, right? Because it's like, woohoo, let's do it all. I'm like, okay. But you realize, like, you're not going to be able to. And so even though the strategist in me is like, that's impossible. And I know Rachel's probably like this too. Like, you know, she's the technical expert with that 1-3-5 tri-type. And I'm a strategist and a troubleshooter with my tri-type. Like when I hear a 7 kind of go off the rails with ideas, and I mean off the rails in the best way possible, being mindful that they need to believe that I believe that it's all possible.
Mm.
So Rachel, like, even if you're in your head, you're like, there's no freaking way that could happen. Like, she needs to believe that you believe that it's all possible. So like when my daughter was picking her career, she's in the beauty industry. She's like, I want to do this. I want to do this one, this one. I want to do all. I'm like, oh, you're totally going to do all of it. Totally going to do all of it. Like, she needs to know that I believe that. And I do.
That's
like, but what two are we picking right now? We'll do all of it. I promise. Right. So like, I have to be really mindful, and Rach, you do too. Like, she needs to make sure that she can do all of it. Even if it doesn't happen today, she needs to know that it's possible.
Mm,
right. And yeah.
You just hit the nail on the head, because it's so deflating when I get rejected. And like, just bringing up that one conversation, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I was just so offended that, you know, and then it was like, the tone of delivery was, there was no compassion in it. It was just like, this is what I think, you're either on or not, you're not on board. Like, we're going to part right now if you continue with this vision. Like, that's the way it came across to me. And I was so offended. Like, I just couldn't believe that someone could even talk to somebody that way, because I'm opposite, right? I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's such a good idea, right? Like, oh, you know, let's work together to, like, you know, execute on that, right? So I think that that moment was like, okay, I need to take a step back and, like, cry, finish, you know, my thoughts. I'm going to talk to my husband, because my husband is more wired like Rachel. Yeah. And then, you know, we moved on or whatever. You probably don't even know that it was such a big deal.
No, I have no idea.
But that is such good advice, because I think tone and just knowing maybe where I'm coming from on the, I want to help everyone to live out their dreams, and I will do anything to help someone or to be on board, like you said, the hype girl. So then when I don't get that reciprocated back, it's difficult.
Yeah. And like the gift of the Enneagram, the thing that it helped me with is because, like, if people aren't wired like me in the past, I was like, well, then you're weak sauce. And like, I would judge them. And what this framework and the 9 basic types has given me is an understanding that we're all motivated and fearful very differently. That even when Rachel is saying, like, I'm not doing this, it feels absolutely very personal, right? But it's not. Right. And when I want to kind of like get real extra spicy and, you know, like cut somebody, because that's what 8s want to do. We just want to like get very aggressive. Instead of me coming in hot, sometimes I'm like, okay, that felt very personal, but I know it's not. And especially when I understand where they're coming from, I try to figure out, I'm like, okay, especially if I know their Enneagram type, I know exactly where it's coming from. But you guys understanding each other that, yeah, she can sound kind of intense and judgy or like black and white. And that crushes the free spirited, anything's possible of the Enneagram 7. So you guys even understanding this about each other is so helpful. It doesn't mean it hurts any less when it's happening. It doesn't mean it doesn't feel personal, but when we understand that it isn't usually, we can move through it faster and have healthier conversations about even when we're hurt. My son the other day, I had said something kind of flippant to him and I didn't even think anything of it. And the next day, and he's my Enneagram 2, like sensitive. And he was like, you know, you really pissed me off when you said this. I was like, oh my gosh, the fact that he even said that to me was like amazing. I was like, we were celebrating that. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, side note, didn't mean it. I will absolutely watch it. I see from your perspective where that could have happened, but let's celebrate for a second that you weren't afraid to say that to me. Yeah, right. Yeah. So the gift of the Enneagram allows us to have healthy conversations. So obviously, like, that happened probably about a year ago, right? That where your feelings got hurt, you felt like, how does she even think like this? Like, blah, blah, blah. But here we are a year later and an anniversary of a podcast and a business. Now your business partners, how did you work through that? Because you easily could have been like, Rach, F you, F this, I'm out. And Rach, you could have stayed in your little, you know, technical expert bubble and tried to do this all alone. So how did you guys navigate that tough conversation, obviously, to come to where we are today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that talking it over with my husband was huge. And I think he said what you said with don't take it personal. I think that she probably just doesn't know that you have ideas and you don't think through them, which sounds kind of bad, right? But that you just kind of throw stuff out there. She might not know that. And so you're scaring her on like all of these ideas that you have. And she just wants to work on what you're doing right now. And I'm like, oh, you know, so I remember not making a big deal about it and working it through with my husband and just being like, okay, I'm just going to move forward. And she obviously doesn't want to do this part of my idea. And if I feel so strongly about that part, then I'm going to pursue that on my own, however scary that is, as much as I want her to be part of it, right? So that's what I've been doing, is I've been pursuing something on my own on the side. And then we still have our partnership that works super well.
So Rachel, how about you? How did, like, when that kind of happened, how did you deal with that? Because, you know, you're so black and white and it's good or bad, right or wrong, no gray area. For you to be in partnership with somebody, especially somebody who's wired so different than you, like, that's a huge growth. Huge. Yeah. That's not easy for you to do typically.
No. And I'm not confrontational at all. Like at all. I hate confrontation. I'd rather just stew. And I stew. I internalize.
Yeah.
And I know, like, you know, as far as anger goes, I know the anger is directed inward.
You're more controlled. Yeah. Like yes. That social one is very different. Like you're not as quick to anger as the other, like self-preservation or one-on-one twos. The social one is more cold than angry. It's like you energetically kind of shut down rather than, you know, come in hot, right?
Yeah. And I get that all the time. That's like my 100% biggest thing I need to work on. My family constantly is telling me you're too cold. You don't connect, blah, blah, blah. And it's not that I don't love them. I just, like you said, that's just what happens. Is I just turn to ice. And so, you know, I hate confrontation. So that was really hard for me. And obviously my delivery was horrible. I didn't know this. So thank you for sharing with me. That's something I need to work on. But that goes into like the turning like cold, like shutting off the emotion because I was doing something scary. Right. And so I just approached it terribly, but that whenever she came back to me after the conversation and explained, I guess what her husband JJ had helped her realize that like, whenever she like says ideas to me, it doesn't mean that she's already decided them. It just means that it's something, an idea that she's throwing out that she wants feedback on. And so I didn't understand that. And so, you know, I apologized. And then now I know moving forward, whenever she has big ideas, I am not
just a brain dump.
React. Yeah, totally. And you don't immediately react. You sit on it, you chew on it, and then you come back with like actual constructive feedback. Right. So that's been really helpful. I think it was really hard. It was scary for me to do. And it was obviously very hurtful to you. And I'm sorry. But I think it was necessary in order to kind of understand each other better, I guess.
Yeah,
for sure. And Andrea, one of the things in dealing with an Enneagram one, knowing that, you know, it's no stupid idea time for you and you're just going to brain dump all the things, you know, like prefacing like, Rach, I'm going to come in hot with tons of ideas. I know like internally you're going to be like coming out of your skin, like just even addressing that you understand where she's going to go and like, I'm just going to dump idea after idea. Trust me, I don't expect all of it to happen today, but I need to believe that all of these are amazing and possible at some point. So it almost like puts her guard down right away. Same thing with you, Rach. Like, I know I'm going to sound like a party pooper in a second. And I want you to know, like, I love all these ideas, keep them coming. But here's where some of these might not work, or we might have to reframe how we approach them. You know, because it's like respecting where the other person comes from, but also like grounding them. Because the beautiful part about the 1 and 7 combination is you guys are attached on the framework of the Enneagram. So you do have a lot to learn from each other and can really grow, which you obviously have. So let's talk about your business for a second. Investing. Although it's a numbers game and analytical, it's also very, very visionary-like. And your business called Good Good Investing. Let's explain why it's called that. Whoever wants to take that one.
So Good Good Investing is together as one word. We wanted to have a name of our business that really emulates what we're all about. So one is we want to provide good returns to our investors. And then we also want to do good for our communities. And so that's really where the name came from. And we mostly have concentrated on the acquisition of large apartment buildings. And so, you know, some owners of apartment buildings are slumlords, right? We want to be the total opposite. And we want to give our community like really good events and environments. And so it's very important for us and our success to be good to both the people that are investing in it and then also our community.
Rachel, where's your sweet spot in this business as an Enneagram one? Where do you think your zone of genius lies in the good, good investing part of the program?
I'm really good at administration.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of the stuff like with our podcast. I'm the one organizing guests, editing, pumping it out, writing content descriptions. On the investing side of things, you know, I'm helping with underwriting, vetting, and then also, you know, putting together the webinars and making sure all that runs smoothly, following up with investors. I'm really good at follow up and follow through. So when it comes to,
which a 7 isn't.
And so I, you know, I live off my reminders app on my iPhone. It's like my holy grail. So I'm just constantly following up with investors, answering their questions, kind of working in that like relational role, you know? So I would say, yeah, that's kind of where I thrive and shine.
And Andrea, what do you think your zone of genius is in the Good Good Investing program here?
Definitely have all the great ideas. So let's start there. No, I'm just kidding. So I do bring a lot of the vision, right? So one of the things was the podcast. Another one is a book that we're working on. I do a lot of relationship building. And so like I'll go to an event and meet someone at a bingo night and then now they're an investor, right? I think on the podcast, I make things very easy to understand, very simple. And so whenever I'm either on another podcast or on our own, a lot of the feedback I get is that I'm just easy to understand. And so people feel like it's, you know, something that's reachable for them. So very much about relationships and yeah, communicating. I think that's pretty much in the vision. And then Rachel does everything else.
Well, and I think that's why it works. I have a client of mine. She's an Enneagram 1. Her husband is an Enneagram 7. And honestly, of all the types and all the combinations of the Enneagram, I think my favorite is the 1-7 combo because they are so different. But when you have this understanding of how each other operates and is motivated, I don't know if there is a better combination than the 1-7 because we do need that light, fun, playful relationship connector piece that's inviting and magnetic. And Lord knows we all need a little bit of structure to make any of that happen, right? And I think the two of you coming together is a beautiful, beautiful partnership. And that couple is one of my favorite couples too. So I love that. So the podcast, let's talk about that because I have a lot of investors and entrepreneurs. My children are both like, you know, into investments and entrepreneurship. And I love that you do bring that big idea and the structure between the two of you together. Who is the podcast for?
Oh, the podcast is for people that really busy professionals and successful entrepreneurs, but also the everyday investor, people who want to, our goal is to break down barriers in commercial real estate. Commercial real estate has forever been this crusty thing for, you know, old people that have generational wealth and are, you know, trust babies. Yeah. It's not the case. So on our podcast, we are breaking down the barriers with the language, with the entry points, so that people can feel confident about investing in commercial real estate because it is accessible to everyone, no matter how much you have to invest. So, and a lot of people don't know that. So that's what our podcast is for. Super easy to understand.
I agree with you. I think that so often it's exactly what you said. It's like, oh, I could never. That is for the person who's got the bankroll in the gazillions and whatnot. And I love that we've got two powerhouse women educating us all on that. So what is the podcast called? Is it Good Good Investing?
Yes, you nailed it. And Good Good is one word. So Good Good, second word, Investing.
Good, good, because good for the individual, good for the community. How freaking amazing is that, you guys? Like, seriously, like that's social subtypes in their rarest, beautiful, most incredible form is looking out for not just the greatest good of us, but for us all. Yeah. Love that. Also, I know that they can kind of learn more about where they're at. I know for myself, like I'm going to get your assessment tool immediately. I was talking to a good friend of mine who I had on the podcast the other day that, you know, I do pretty well. And I have a lot of assets that are doing nothing sitting there, like a lot of equity that's just sitting there, not doing anything. And a lot of that is my own fear of like, I don't want to look stupid or weak. Hello, Enneagram 8. That if I want to venture into something like you guys do, like, I don't want to be blindsided that like, oh, that's cute little lady. Nice try. And so it's sometimes easier for people, women specifically, just not to know and bury their head in the sand. And I love that you two have something for people like me that are a little stubborn, prideful, or scared, or don't know. And what is that for them?
Yeah. So this would be our net worth assessment tool. And it is not as complicated as it sounds. It's literally a one pager. It's so easy. And
obsessed.
We also call it, you may be richer than you think, because Andrea actually found investable capital that she didn't even know about through this tool. Because there, like you said, there are so many different ways to tap into investable funds. You have retirement accounts from previous employers you forgot about. You have home equity that you can tap into without selling or refinancing. And then, of course, you have your like checking, savings, trusts, like you name it. And so this will kind of take an audit of all the places where you have investable capital. But not only will it do that, you can actually plug in where you have your capital invested now, and it will play out for you what your net worth will look like in 10 years if you keep doing what you're doing. And then you can play around and say, well, what if I invest in this alternative asset or this alternative asset at this percent annualized return? And then you can actually see what it will do to your net worth in 10 years. And it is literally mind-blowing to see that on paper. And then the second part of the tool is finding your freedom number and your magic number. So your freedom number is how much you need to make in passive income per year in order to quit your day job without sacrificing your lifestyle. So you will itemize all the different expenses. You can do like a generalized range. You'll come up with your freedom number. That's how much you have to make. But then the cool thing is we have a special algorithm in there that will calculate your magic number, which is how much you need to invest in order to reach your freedom number. And we did this so that our investors have this beacon. They have a guiding light on their path to retirement.
Oh my goodness. Seriously, this is the beauty of a 7-1 combination, because we want to dream big. I think most of us have forgotten, or we've been told not to dream so big, but like this freedom number is very 7 energy. But then like the reverse engineering and how do we get here is all about the 1. And so I think that this beautiful assessment tool that sounds incredible, I'm going to get it. Where can they get it? We all need to kind of know. We can't hit a target we're not aiming for and we can't see, right? And this is what that tool does. So where can we get it?
Our website, goodgoodinvesting.com. It's on our homepage. It's free. So you just can download it straight from our homepage and open it in Excel or Google Sheets or whatever you like to use best. But I couldn't have said it better too with the 7 and the 1, because it is like, oh, I want to retire early. Okay. Well, how are you going to what are you going to do today? You know? And so that's me, is I'm like, hey, we want to be here in 10 years. How are we going to reverse engineer? And I need to know actual numbers and figures. What needs to go where to make this happen?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with you guys and what you do. And my audience knows I don't recommend anyone or anything that I wouldn't put my stamp of approval on you guys. So that's amazing. You guys go to goodgoodinvesting.com to get your assessment tool and to find out more and to find their podcast, all the things about Good Good Investing. Andrea, what's your favorite thing about being an Enneagram 7?
I don't feel like I know enough about it. I'm still kind of like unwrapping it all.
What's your favorite thing about you?
My favorite thing about me is that I'm pretty like easygoing. I'm like the one that is not really giving the naysaying opinion on things. Like even yesterday when I went out with some friends, some were like, no, we don't want to go get dessert, but the driver wanted to get dessert. And I'm like, I'll go with you. Like, I don't care.
I love that.
You know? So yeah, I just kind of go with the flow.
Love it. What's your favorite thing about being an Enneagram 1, Rachel?
That I am dependable and have very strong integrity.
You absolutely do. What a beautiful combination for any of us. Yeah.
Can I add one more thing? Can I say my favorite thing about Andrea being a 7?
Yes.
Since we're working with a partnership here, my favorite thing about you being a 7 is that you are tirelessly enthusiastic and encouraging to everyone. If there's someone that comes to you and says, I don't know if I can do this, I'm not sure, or has low self-confidence, you build them up and you're really, really, really good at that.
Aw, thank you. Thank you so much. And I do try to be that person. Yeah. So thank you so much.
That's why we all need 7s.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Rachel is that she is so reliable and she makes things work like a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I like make a mistake, I'm like, it'll be fine. But she really, I mean, like she drive, like everything has to be excellent, which is so good. I also am that way too. Like I try to do everything with excellence, but she just takes us to another level. So
I love it. I love it. I love you too. And what you're doing, honestly, I think what you're doing for communities and individuals is remarkable. And I love that we have 2 amazing women doing it and leading the way. You guys go to goodgoodinvesting.com to get all the details about these beautiful women, Andrea and Rachel, with Good Good Investing. You guys, thanks for being here. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you enjoyed the Lead with the Enneagram podcast. Please help us spread the word about this show and the Enneagram by sharing it with a friend and leaving a written Apple podcast review. If you have any follow-up questions to this episode, you can DM me on Instagram at @Tracy_O'Malley. You can also find additional resources on my website at tracyomalley.com. I'm so excited to lead you into the next level of your life.